Shalom Aleichem to all who are tuning in to the Interpreter's Pulpit 101 podcast. This is Les Aaron Gosling teaching nothing new, but all things original. We're talking about uncomfortable truths, and this is part two on adultery. In our recent podcast, we've been considering the commandments contained in the Sinai Covenant. We have found the Sinai Covenant to be a marriage agreement, a contract between Yehovah God, mediated through angelic powers, and the nation of Israel. There have been a few surprises along the way, but this is how it is when you study with the Messianic Rebbe. For God's Spirit knows I am not a coward who will shy away from the truth, no matter how controversial and exceptional that same truth may well prove to be. I have articulated on a number of occasions just how seemingly unintelligent so many Christians and Messianic believers happen to be when it comes to desiring to place themselves underneath the stipulations and the regulations of, firstly, a marriage contract that is no longer in existence, and secondly, which contract can never ever be applied to them in the first place. We've already seen that God changed the Torah regulations concerning the second commandment and the strict rule against marrying two sisters. You can find that law in Leviticus 18, verse 18, when God himself went ahead and married two sisters. Further, God changed the Torah commandment found in Deuteronomy chapter 24, forbidding a divorced wife returning to her first husband. And he did so because of his immense love for his ex-wife Israel. Moreover, he changed his curse concerning an abomination that causes the land to sin in respect of the law against a wife returning to her husband in an exchange of intended grace and blessing. His example is the one we all need to follow. Yeshua is Yehovah, who came in flesh as a human being, and he himself had a great deal to say in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7 in his notifications about the new covenant. In fact, Mashiach, when he was here on earth, fulfilled what Isaiah prophesied about his coming ministry. If you want to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 42, and in verse 21, Isaiah 42 and verse 21, Yehovah is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the Torah and make it honorable. Question. You mean it wasn't all that honorable before Yeshua came? No, it wasn't. Otherwise, there would be no reason in predicting that Mashiach would indeed make it so. I have established this as a fact in previous podcasts I have given so far on the Sinai Covenant and its regulations. I'll say more on this in future podcasts, so stay tuned if you are interested in growing in the knowledge of God via the BRI, IMCF codification of the biblical revelation. Certainly today we are discussing the seventh commandment of the 10 words of our Creator. We really need to grasp what adultery meant in the days of Moses, and what it means in today's world for those who follow God's instructions. Many unbelieving believers fail to comprehend that God originally married two sisters, which his own Torah forbids to human beings, and that he had a failed marriage, needing to divorce both of those wives for adultery. Yehovah also failed miserably at child-rearing by his own admission. His kids contributed to a deeply dysfunctional family, and this indeed is God's great lament through the pages of the prophet Isaiah. Israel was divorced in circa 721-718 BCE when the Assyrians finally defiled her body, and again in circa 587-586 BCE when Judah was divorced and she became the possession of the Babylonians. Another question. What did adultery originally intend? What did it originally mean? In the days of Moses, adultery originally meant not to break down, pollute, or otherwise destroy the genes. Look up any dictionary. Etymologically, adultery originally meant to adulterate. in the history of the Jewish people, an enormous stress has been laid on the real need to perpetuate the various races in their particular and unique genetic wholeness. Even though it's an unpopular view in some religious and political quarters of society, an unbiased approach will locate this teaching right throughout the contents of the Hebrew Bible. In the Messianic Scriptures, the so-called New Testament, the late Second Temple Rabbi Rav Shaul, the emissary Paul, taught the Messianic disciples of the Lord Yeshua that in the Ecclesia of God, there were to be no racial distinctions or boundaries, that both the barbarian Europeans and the Jewish people were in the sight of the Creator one united people in Messiah. In other words, in terms of the marriage relationship, mixed racial unions were most certainly permitted in the Messianic community of faith. You'll find that teaching in Galatians chapter 3, verse 28 and 29. This horror of the possibility of breaking down the gene pool can be traced right back to early primitive accounts of extraterrestrial visitations relating to creatures who descended to our planet from enormous disks, descending from out of the heavens with the sexual misadventures that were birthed from those same revolting encounters. Such visitations are recorded in Genesis, Jubilees, Enoch, and other ancient non-biblical sources. Some of these same records discuss outcomes that can be best described as attempts at transhumanism. Certainly, transplants by interstellar biogeneticists can be assessed as a primary aim of these frequent heavenly sojourns, and this is a reason why our world today is being prepared for the advent of a new form of transhumanism. I'll have a lot to say in future podcasts on this subject. But so strongly was this episode remembered in primitive times that Moses introduced laws against sexually desiring strange flesh, and one of the prime Ten Commandments states that adultery was not permitted. I've stated innumerable times over four decades in this ministry that the sin of Sodom in the Genesis account is all about sex with extraterrestrial sojourners on earth here below. My teaching has become a laughingstock from many Christian quarters because unbelieving believers desire to treat homosexuals and lesbians with not just disdain, but with outright revulsion. They want to eagerly locate a God warrant to justify their atrocious hatred and personal loathing and condemnation for what they call righteousness' sake. God condemned the city of Sodom because of the way his angelic servants were treated. One of the brothers of Yeshua spoke of the Sodomites and their lust to experience strange flesh in Jude chapter 1 and verse 7. You can read it yourself. I won't turn there. But the entire city was not populated only with perverted men who sought sex with other men, dear listeners. The whole city is designated and therefore also included women and children. They all desired to participate in sexual activity with alien flesh. This will give you an idea of their mindset of the period. This would have gone right against the seventh commandment prohibiting miscegenation. But the prophets also listed other sins which God properly held against the entire population of Sodom. You hardly hear about them. Listen and understand. The entire point of the story is about inhospitality in the form of abusive assault. Ezekiel understood this was the case. He writes that Sodom was condemned and destroyed, quote, because they did not aid the poor and the needy, unquote. Ezekiel 16, verses 48 and 49. The apocryphal scroll of wisdom agrees with the prophet's assessment. The sin of Sodom was, quote, a bitter hatred toward strangers and making slaves of guests who were benefactors, unquote. That's Wisdom 19 and verse 13. Slaves were used by those who owned them for sexual purposes, and they had no real choice in the way their masters treated them. The angels of God were about to be treated in the same aggressive, brutal, abusive manner. Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Zephaniah refer to Sodom's sin as injustice, oppression, partiality, lies, encouraging evildoers, and, surprise, surprise, adultery. Look up Isaiah chapter 1, verses 10 to 17. Take time out to look at Isaiah 3, verse 9. Look at Jeremiah 23:14. Look up Zephaniah chapter 2, 8 through 11. And note this, adultery is the only sex sin in the entire lengthy list. Homosexuality is not even given scant mention. Please note, too, that sex itself is not the concern. For strictly speaking, adultery is not a crime or offence against a woman, nor is it an offence against the natural intimacy of a marriage, nor yet again against the inherent requirements of sex. The crime of adultery is ever and always an offence against justice. 4. Adultery offends the man to whom the woman belongs as part of his total property value. But if you won't be convinced by the prophets, can our Lord Yeshua persuade you? Yeshua tells us what the sin of Sodom was. If you turn with me over to Matthew chapter 10 and look at verse 5. Matthew 10 and verse 5, these 12 Yeshua sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans do not enter, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes nor a staff, for the workman is worthy of his meat. And into whatsoever city or town you shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till you go thence. In other words, depend on your host's hospitality. He adds, when you come into a house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it not be worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off even the dust of your feet. Truly I tell you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in a day of judgment than for that city. Unquote. Yeah, get the point? The helpless, virtually destitute disciples had to depend on the hospitality of others. Those who would not show them hospitality would come under a judgment that will be more fierce than that experienced by Sodom for the same crime. You might say, well, I haven't seen that before. Well, yes, you now have. But what then of Paul's statements included in his letter to the Romans? That's a good question. In our following podcast, we shall examine what he actually wrote. And we ought to be open and prepared to the historical background to this epistle. Be prepared for a major surprise. Stay tuned in order to unlock the secrets of the Bible. Solve the mystery of the biblical revelation. Explore the astonishing realms of infinite intelligence. Enjoy the advancement you will attain as a spiritual being having a human experience in this material world. We invite you to traverse the contents of this ancient book we call the Holy Bible to gain a unique insight into the Jewish scriptures. If you are tuning in to the Interpreter's Pulpit 101 podcasts for any of these reasons, then welcome indeed. It's high time to restore all things, and we thank you for allowing us to serve you in this manner. This is Les Aaron Gosling saying, Kol Tov to all who love the Lord Yeshua.